were in the prayer meeting this morning, and I really felt that Father God was saying that there is a spirit of revelation here, particularly this morning. He's always here. He's always present. He's always giving us revelation. But I felt that he was highlighting that. And I, you know, there are angels here in this place. I don't ever see them, but I am aware of them. Irene sees them a lot. Okay? There are angels here today. And I felt that there was specifically an angel of revelation. Because I saw, when we were in the prayer meeting, I saw radiating from the throne room of heaven the color blue, which speaks of revelation. So I just want you to, as we're just going to push in a little bit more, we sing this song, I want you to open up your spirits intentionally and let Holy Spirit, who is revelation, lead you into a greater place of revelation. And that will be different to each one of you. What Father God wants to reveal to you today will be unique to you. But let's just push in and allow Holy Spirit, who is alive and here and present and wants to take us in to a deeper place in Him. And let's let Holy Spirit come upon you today in a new way. Thank you. And this includes for the children. It doesn't matter about the children. It doesn't matter about what's happening around you. But let's just welcome Spirit of Revelation. Yes, yes, yes. Because there is something that God wants to do in you this morning. That you will not be the same when you walk out of this place today. Because that is how He works. He takes us from one degree of glory to another. And He wants to do that today in your life. There are no exceptions, okay? All right? It's just a choice that we have to make with Father, your God, your Father, your Papa, that wants to reveal to you today how much He loves you. Yes. 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 Shada Boguriada Bashiado Boguriando. Uriada Bashiado Boguriada Bashiado. Yes. Yes. Come, Holy Spirit. You are welcome. You are so welcome. Yes. Yes.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you.
An honor to welcome Katie. I think. No, it's not. Irene, you're good.
Hello, I'm not Katie. My name is Irene, but you can call me Princess. Thank you. I just want to say thank you for welcoming us, Katie, Fiona and I. We had a great time yesterday and we're having a great time today. So thank you very much for your welcome and for your love and your trust. It's been amazing so far. Can I just ask a quick question? I have a few things to say. I'm supposed to just present books, but I have a few things to say. And since I have the mic, I'm going to keep talking. Who came yesterday? Awesome! That's a lot of people. Who felt blessed yesterday? Yes! Thank you, Jesus! Who got healed yesterday? Yay! Thank you, Jesus! Let's celebrate what Jesus did. Come on! Who felt just a measure of improvement but not complete healing yesterday? Hallelujah! That is awesome! And I just declare that God does more on top of that. That is super cool. We just need to keep celebrating what God does. Because it's awesome. I'm going to talk about the books now. We brought two wonderful books from Eastgate from Eastgate Writers. One is about the royal identity. Of course, I don't have them with me, but they're outside. One is about the royal identity, and it's written by David Webster. He is one of the teachers at our School of Supernatural and one of the elders at Eastgate. He went to Buckingham Palace and God gave him a whole download and understanding of what it is to be a son, to be a royal son, and to understand kingdom from a brand new perspective. I think that the book is awesome, and the fact that it's written by a British person changes everything on the perspective of what royalty is, actually. I think, well, I'm French, and we, you know, haven't been very kind with our kings. Americans never had any kings. So when we write about royalty, it's not exactly the same as when it is from a British perspective. And I think it's a valuable insight and revelation in what true sonship, true royal identity, true kingdom is. So I would just advise you to read it. And the other one is written by my boss, Pete Carter. It's called Unwrapping Lazarus. And it's about basically what it is to live in an open heaven, what it looks like when God shows up in your normal life. It's a lot of stories, so it reads very easily. Lots of amazing stories of miracles. He's got, he's been leading a church, I think, for 27 years, and he's a medical doctor, and his dream has always been to combine healing, and like that healing could be a normal part of Christian life. So this is how he lives his life, basically, and with a lot of teaching and a lot of good stories and good bites in it. So I would just advise you to read it. I'm going to try a few words of knowledge, and just apologies if I get it wrong, but God loves me. Is there a Paul and a Mary here? A couple named Paul and Mary, or brothers and sisters? No? It's all right. And is there... Oh. Really? That's just so awesome. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Now, find something clever to say. Oh, I just love it when God does that. I had your two names, so I had Paul and Mary, and I had something to do with a business situation. Are you in a business? None of you. Okay. Sorry? God's business is a really good one, so I'm just going to pray for you then. Okay, Lord Jesus, thank you for Paul. And so what's your real name before Mary? Anne. Wow. Sorry. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Paul and Anne. Thank you that you love them. And I just pray awesome blessings upon them. I just pray for the gift of revelation to be just poured into their lives, for them to see healings and miracles, for them to see signs and wonders, for them to see your glory manifested in their lives, in Jesus' mighty name. And I just pray for signs and wonders to be manifested as they go, like for them to just spot your glory in tiny details, in stuff that wouldn't make sense to anybody else but them. And I just pray that you manifest yourself and you keep manifesting yourselves in their lives and in their marriage, in Jesus' name. Oh, that was fun. I have one last one. Is there, I think it's a child, but I'm not sure, named Jude or Judah in one of your families? All right, I'll save it for later. I think I'm going to hand out the mic.
This is really interesting, because God highlighted you two to me during the service. So, do you want to stand up?
And I want you to stand together. That's interesting that you got... I need it in a minute, though. The two things that I had was, I don't know why, I was really drawn. When I was just thinking about you, I was really drawn to my own wedding ring. And I felt like there was something very significant for you as a couple. And I feel like that your marriage is very significant. And there is a covenant relationship that God has with you, but that you have together. As a couple together. And I feel like that there is going to be a springboard that's before you, that you're going to be kind of catapulted into a new adventure and into a new thing. And the word that I have was from Isaiah 43, and it says, 43:18, do not remember the former things. Now consider the things, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? And I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And I just feel like that you need to forget the things of the past, because behold, I am doing a new thing. And I feel it's a new thing for you as a couple. And it's really significant. And I feel like you are to invest in your marriage and your relationships. And I'm not saying that there's any issues or anything, but I'm just saying I feel it that there is, you know, there is something significant about your relationship as a couple together. And that you are stronger together as a couple. God's brought you together with a specific purpose in mind. And there's a call of God on your life. And I also feel that he's going to give you revelation about his covenant relationship with you. When God makes a covenant, it's never broken, because it's paid for by the blood of Jesus. And it's like the signet ring that he has placed on your finger, which has never been removed. And he loves you. He loved you from the beginning and the foundation when he created you, and he will love you into eternity. The Father is going to reveal to you his fathering of you in this season that you're going to walk into. So, Paul and Anne. Or Paul and Mary. Okay. Oh, Jesus. This morning, now we have about 40 minutes, I guess. It's going to be a bit different, okay? I'm not going to give you a 3-point sermon, right? Because I feel like that we feel very honored to be here. The real privilege to be with you guys. We felt that God was sending us on with an assignment. And we felt that it was a strategic appointment for us in coming this weekend. And we shared that with Richard and Jackie last night, and their eldership, or the people that they're working, you know, in the eldership, that we felt that God had strategically brought us at this time, in this hour, in this day, because of what God's doing. And I shared yesterday, and I just want to just share it again today, what I felt God was saying to you as a church. And I really, at the end, we're going to do a prophetic kind of thing. Don't sit too comfortably, no. We're going in about an hour. So that's okay, you know. I won't be here tomorrow. But I just feel that, you know, we had this whole thing yesterday, this theme of rain. And the heavens really did open as we were traveling. Well, particularly as we got nearer you, in fact. It wasn't so bad even, I know, half an hour away, but as we got nearer you, there was even a flood sign up. And we were like, oh Jesus, please protect the car that it doesn't die on us. So I just felt like there was something about the rain, and we shared that. And what came to me instantly when I walked in here yesterday, in here, was Ezekiel 47. And I'm not going to read it all, but I feel like you are to go home and look at that and meditate on that, and God's going to speak to you specifically through it. But some of the things that I just wrote down that it talks about is, obviously, you know, it's the river flowing from the temple, and it starts ankle deep and then knee deep, and then eventually they're swimming in the river. But the things that it talks about are, because you are strategically placed, I hope you realize that, you are strategically placed here, okay? You're not here by accident. You're here by design, okay? And each one of you are significant, okay? If one of you isn't functioning, then the whole body is affected. So don't ever feel that you're not a significant part of, because maybe you're not on the worship team or you're not an elder, but each one of you has a significant part to play in what God is doing in this hour, in this church. And in Ezekiel, it talks about, doesn't it, the waters were for the healing of the nations. The waters gave life. The waters brought salvation. It talked about the fish multiplying. Salvation is going to come. People are going to come to know Jesus. And this, you know, you're going to increase, you're going to multiply. There was fruit that was for medicine. You're going to see healings and deliverances. And there was an inheritance of the land. I believe that God, I know that you're thinking about land, that God's going to give you land so that you can enlarge what you are doing. And I don't think it's any mistake that they're building a defense barrier around you. Seriously. I don't think I've ever heard of that, but they're building, I mean, not so close to a building, that they're building a defense barrier, because in this, you know, often God shows us things in the natural that are happening in the spiritual, because the spiritual, because the water level is rising, okay, and it's going to spill out into the town and into the areas around it. You are strategically placed in the center, or not the center, but in this part of the United Kingdom, because God is doing something in Europe. He is wakening us up. I don't know if you've heard what's been happening. My sister lives in Reading, UK. And I don't know if you've been hearing what's been happening there, that hundreds of people have been becoming Christians. I don't know what the number is now. Over 1,000 people. And these are people out on the streets. And a lot of the people who are leading the people to Jesus are children. And it's been in petrol stations, it's been on the streets, it's been in the hairdressers, whatever. But they are genuine people who are coming to faith. God is waking up Europe. Amazing things are happening in France. We've been on mission. We send missions teams to France, Spain, and Sweden last year, this year, anyway. And God is on the move. He really is. And he's shifting our mindsets to believe that it's not just something that will happen in Africa, people getting healed and raised from the dead and set free, but God is doing it right now, right in our workplaces, in our situations. I'm a nurse, and I work one night shift a week, because I do lots of other things as well. So I work alongside Pete Carter, and I'm also involved in the European School of Supernatural Life, which is a two-day school which we run at Eastgate. If you're interested, then just look on our website. It will be life-changing for you. So I do one shift a week at the hospital near where I live. And one night I went into a patient. We have 5 terminal beds, so we have patients who are terminally ill. And we had a lady with us who had bowel cancer, and she was dying. And she was incontinent of, yeah. As you can imagine, she got bowel cancer. She was incontinent of, yeah. And I was the 4th nurse to go in to clean her up and settle her for the night. So it was about midnight. And I'm kind of praying in my mind, you know, sometimes I literally pray for people, other times I'm just praying in my mind and just believing that God's going to do something. And I walk in and start cleaning her up, and I'm just, you know, washing her and doing what I do. And I felt Holy Spirit say to me, "You're using the wrong cream." I thought, I was using a barrier cream. I mean, you won't know what, if I mentioned them, you wouldn't know what it was, but I felt like him say, you need to use a different cream. Thought, oh, okay then. So I go off and find this different cream that I felt like I was to use. She's basically got, because she's been so incontinent, she had almost like a really bad nappy rash around her bottom. And really sore. You know, if you've had children, you know, awful nappy rashes, they're really horrible. And so I then, in obedience, I go and get this cream, and I'm still just praying in my mind. And I start to dab this cream on this sore, this red area. And it began to disappear. She then went to sleep the whole night. So I was the fourth nurse that had gone in. So the expectation was that we were going to be going in probably about every couple of hours to clean her up. She slept through the whole night. She then began to make a miraculous recovery and then went on to live for a whole another year. In that time, because we take people long term as well. In that time, she gave her life to Jesus. And so God is doing miraculous things, okay? Wherever you are, I also go in and help in my children's school. And one time was in there when Ofsted came. We knew they were coming. And on the day that Ofsted came in, you know what Ofsted like. All the teachers go into like panic mode. And as it happens, I happen to be in. I only go in once a week, but I happen to be there. There are no coincidences with God. And it happened that day that the teacher was off sick, so we had a supply teacher. So the TA was really panicking at this point because she's got a supply teacher, the Ofsted's in, and she's like, oh, Jesus, you know. Well, she's not, oh, Jesus, she's, oh, help, oh, God. And anyway, so they gave me a group of children to do an activity with. So I start doing this. It was a maths thing with them. And I had a sudden download of what I should do with them. So I had no real resources. So I just made up this, you know, children are great. They have such imagination. And so I pretended I was given them, I had to do a money thing with them. And so I thought, well, let's pretend we're a sweet shop. So you come to, I'm the sweet shop, and you come to me and buy your sweets. So we're doing this little thing, and in walks the inspector, and she comes and stands right next to me. She bypassed the TA, she bypassed the supply teacher, and she stands there with her clipboard writing down notes. She obviously thought I was the teacher. And so I'm doing my thing, and you know, whatever, with the children. And at the end, she said, oh, so, what's your name, you know? And then I said, oh, you know that I'm not a teacher. Oh, I crossed out she'd obviously written teacher and then put parent. I said, I'm just a helper in the school. Anyway, at the end of the day, the TA came running up to me saying, thank you so much. It was amazing. They had so much positive feedback from you. You really helped. Thank you, thank you. And it was like this sense that I just went in there and just carried the presence of God in that classroom, had a download from Holy Spirit what to do in that moment, and did it. And they came out with an outstanding Ofsted report, not just because of me, but I was a part of what God was doing in that school, because we pray for the school and we expect good things to happen in our school. So I just want to the other thing I really felt, I'm sorry if this is all a bit kind of, you know, random or a bit bitty, but these are things that I just feel like God has downloaded for me, for you today. I also feel that God wants to take you as well from a place of hope to a place of assurance. That we will have, not just have hope, but we will move into a place of assurance because we have a faith in God. That he can do all things and he can make all things possible. That's a different place to be in. That we will move and operate in a place of an assurance that God will come through for us. Okay, right. That's what I wanted to say there. And I'm just going to move on now. And I wanted to share some healing story testimonies, but I'll just share one of them with you. We have a healing center. That's another thing we have down at Eastgate, which I shared with you yesterday. And so we run it twice a month. Last year we had, did you hear that? 1,003 people come through the healing center in the course of the year. And we've seen amazing things happening. We bring people into the presence of God, and then they experience the presence of God, and then we simply just pray very short prayers for them, and we see miracles on a regular basis taking place. Every time we see miracles happening there. And there was a lady that came, this is on the, you can look at them on the website, the lady that came, she was 90. I just love this story. She was 90, and she'd been suffering from TIAs, so that little mini strokes, and she hadn't been able to leave the house. If she did, she would potentially have a TIA. In fact, she would have them sitting in her chair at home. But the daughter decided to bring her to the healing center. And she, which was a miracle in itself, the fact that she couldn't really leave the house, so she came to the healing center to get prayed for. And someone prayed for her, and she had not had a TIA for, I think it was 5 months, that she came 5 months ago, and it was posted in June, yeah, in June, so last month, and she hadn't had, and she was having them about 5 times a day. Isn't that so precious that a 90-year-old lady has now been given a new lease of life so she can now go out? So we're seeing amazing miracles taking place. But what I want to share with you a little bit this morning is, oh, yes, sorry, the other scripture that goes along with Ezekiel 47 is Joel. Is Joel 3, verse 18. And it talks in there about the new wine. And it says here, I'll read it to you, and it will come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. And I feel like that there's, you're embracing the new wine that God wants to pour out amongst you. Don't be afraid of what God is doing. Even if you don't understand it, that's okay. And he will offend your mind with the presence of God. He will. And we just need to get over it sometimes. Okay? Even if we don't understand what God's doing, it's okay. But God is pouring out his new wine. And he's creating the new wineskins in order to carry the new wine. But I want to just focus on the next just quarter of an hour. So I just want to look at John 17. And this scripture has really blown me away. And it's John 17. I'm not going to have time to read the whole thing, but if you just turn to John 17, verse 10. And this is the prayer. This is the prayer of a dying man. Because Jesus, this is Jesus' last word. You know, he's going to the cross. And this is what he prayed before he went to the cross. And it is incredible. Take time to read John 17 and meditate on it. But John 17:10, it says, "And all mine are yours. And yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. I am glorified." We give God glory. And I believe this is what is going to be put on display. The same glory which Father gave to him is in us. And it's It's all about believing our identity. It's all about, and we focused on this yesterday. I'm just going to say a few things. Sometimes it's not a bad thing to repeat things. And I said this yesterday, when God says something for the first time, he sets a precedent of declaring who he is and what we can expect from him. So he's setting a precedent here of who he is and what we can expect from him. When we begin to discover how amazing he is, we will begin to get a picture of how wonderful you are and we are. We will start to walk in the expectancy of that, and that good things will happen and that favor will flow. And we talked about that yesterday, about the goodness of God. And I think the single most important question that we can ever really ask is, what do you think about God? And what does God think about me? And that will determine how you live your life. It's what God thinks about, what we think about God, and how God sees us. Because there's something about you that God thinks is extraordinary. Because the extraordinary God lives in you. And so he makes you extraordinary. And Holy Spirit then becomes your personal trainer. And I really believe that actually that's what accountability is. It's calling each other up into our identity and into who we are really and who God has called us to be. It's reminding people of who they are. That's accountability. Reminding each other that you are amazing. That's accountability. It's reminding each other that God has put something in you that's unique. That you are a gloriously incredible person that carry the presence of God. Whatever we focus on, that's what we give life to, and that's what will empower us. If we start focusing on things that are dead, because we have been crucified with Christ and we no longer live, that Christ lives in us, then that's what we will give life to. We need to start dealing with our identity, which we talked about yesterday, and not our behavior. So often we focus on our behavior, and actually it's really the key is really knowing who we are and who God is in us. And then we will start to live from a different currency. We will start to live from the currency of heaven. And then you will start to know that when he gives you a promise, that he will give you the provision and the resources. And he will say to you, and he will expect us to believe him, that he will provide for us, that he will be the provision, that he will give us the resources that we need. And I believe that he will make provision for you that is beyond your comprehension. It says, doesn't it, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has in store for those that believe him. He will make provision for you that is beyond your comprehension. That's true in your business. That's true in your home. That's true in your children. That's true in your unbelieving, in your unsafe, you know, your family members that aren't walking with Jesus. When he gives you a promise, he will give you the provision of the promise. The other thing I felt just reminded of is that one of the tools that has been really helpful for me, write your prophetic words down and pray them into being. Speak them into being. Don't just shelve them, but let the very prophetic words bring life and nourishment to you as you begin to speak those things out. Some of you have been given words over the weekend. Take them speak them out, a word that you've had in the past, and let them bring life to your situation. I believe that he can only really resource that part of your identity that's really working, which is why it's so key that we let Holy Spirit unlock our true identity. What I love about this is, what it says here is, it's, I am glorified in them. We have to become comfortable and secure in the fact that we are glorious. That I am amazing. You know, some of us have said that over the weekend, that we are amazing. And some of us find that really difficult to say that, because we think, oh, well, that's being a bit kind of, that being a bit proud. Or are you kind of puffing yourself up? But actually, no, I'm lining myself up in agreement with what God says about me that's true. And that is what is true humility. It's agreeing with Father what God says about me that is true. He wants you to discover who you really are and the fullness of that and release it on the earth. He wants you to have a vision for who Jesus is for you, and when we see that, we will start to step into that. I had something happen to me recently. We've been having in our environment, we have lots of strange things happening, but we've had gold dust appearing a lot, and gems. So, I mean, that happened all the time, for about the last year and a half. So one time, Pete was speaking, and the lectern, we have like a kind of a clear perspex, you know, lectern. And literally, I mean, literally, before our eyes, it was like as if someone had, you know, glitter? Had poured glitter all over this lectern. And you'd go like this, because you wanted to get a little bit on your finger, and more would then appear on the lectern. Now, we're not impressed with the gold dust or the glitter, but we are impressed with Jesus, and he's trying to get our attention, like the gems. I mean, seriously, they will just appear in the carpet, in people's homes. My daughter has been collecting them. She gets them at home, and she's got a little egg cup which she puts them in. She's had gold dust in her classroom. So we've had a guy that works for a full meal register, but we had, yeah. And he literally had it all over him at work. And his colleagues were like, what have you got on you? What is that? So I had this gold dust. Well, I was asked to speak at a leaders' meeting. And I thought, oh, Jesus, I really don't want to speak at this. And because of, some of you don't really know me, but I don't particularly like speaking up in front of people. I find it quite challenging, to be honest. I am not an upfront person. I would rather sit on the back row and not say anything. But Jesus works in mysterious ways, and he tends to use the weak things to confound the wise. So that's how I feel often. But so I was asked to speak, and I thought, and I was asked, and then I straight away went to the toilet, and I said, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've had the most honest conversation that I have ever had with God. I said, I've got nothing to say. I really have nothing to say. What? You've got me into this mess. How are you going to get me out of this mess? I don't want to do this. Da, da, da. Whole load of leaders. Anyway, I went back upstairs and opened my bag to get my book out, and all in my bag was covered in gold dust, that someone had tipped it in there. And instantly, Holy Spirit said to me, it's what you carry, my glory. Later on, I was given a bag for my birthday, opened it up, it was a new bag, opened it up, all gold dust in the bottom of the bag. And I want to encourage you this morning with that little testimony, that it's what you carry. You carry the presence of Jesus. You carry the glory of Jesus. And it says in the scriptures, isn't it, that that God is, where does it say? I've got it written down here somewhere. Hold on, let's read it because I get it wrong. In Romans, no, where it talks about the whole world is waiting for the glory. Romans, that's it. It's Romans 8:19. For the unveiling of the glory. I'm sorry, my mind has gone blank. If you look at, 8:19. Can you read it out? So I believe that there is a rumbling in the earth as it begins to adjust and accommodate as believers find out who they really are. And we will adjust to the fact that we carry his presence and his glory wherever we go. And we just need to step into alignment with what God says about us, that it's true. Everything in us or in heaven is saying yes. And he's made a covenant relationship with us. And he wants us to just demonstrate his presence, his purpose, his power. Because by doing that, we give glory to the Father. And we have the opportunity to rewrite history and re-represent him in this world today. We are presence carriers. And the more we connect with him, the more of who he is comes out of us. What I really want to do before we end is I really felt that we were to stand, because we really want to lay hands on every one of you, is I really felt that we were to stand in a circle. Because when we recognize that we carry his glory and that we are glorious, it takes away any hierarchical kind of sense, because we are all glorious, because we are all seated with him in heavenly places. So there are no kind of levels of spirituality here. And I felt that as we were to stand in a circle and lock arms together, it was almost a sense for you guys of saying that, you know, we have made a covenant with each other, with God, that we recognize who we are, we honor each other, we honor what God is doing in one another, and we stand shoulder to shoulder together in this new season that God has brought you to in this day. That you will be an army together that stands united, that stands knowing who God is and who you are as you carry his glory into the world, into your environments, into the place where you are. Because God wants to use every single one of you. Every single one of you is significant. Each of you will do something different. I heard a story of a lady that couldn't leave her house because of different, she was an older lady. But what she did with what she could do was bake cakes. So she just baked cakes and gave them to people. Then she saw people coming to Jesus out of the kindness of her heart. So whatever God has put in your hands, that's what you can do. Just be the best you, and God will use it, and he will multiply it. I really believe that. I believe it's not a time for individuals. It's a time for the church to wake up and to be put on display. We will be attracted. It says that people will come to the glory that we carry because of who is in us. Jesus, it's all about him. It's all about what God has done in us. And that's what I'm so passionate about, is that people will see what God has done in us. And we are peace carriers. We are joy carriers. We are hope carriers. Particularly with everything that's been happening in the last weeks, we have the opportunity to bring peace. I was so amazed listening to the radio a couple of days after how much fear people were operating under. So much fear. That's what they're driven by. But we can go in the opposite spirit and bring peace and hope. I really hope that as we go, that we have left in you that sense that God is with you. God is on the move. God is watching over you. God has got something unique and significant he wants to do in Rugeley. Okay? So maybe we can all stand and go get in a circle, and we will... we go behind you and lay hands on you. And then if you've got a CD or something that we can put on, that would be really good. So we've got some background music.
To be reopened for the prophetic to be expressed in new powerful ways, for healing to be expressed in new and powerful ways, for salvation to be expressed in the city of Rugeley. And I'm calling it a city, even if it's a town at the moment. It's going to be a city. That's what is happening for us. God told us that we would be placed at the east gate of the city, and God knows New Ash Green was not a city. And our building was built at the edge of Gravesend on what is going to be Ebbsfleet Garden City, the newest city in England. So God works in mysterious ways. I'm just declaring that he's blessing your city with healing, with salvation, with Bible knowledge, with the knowledge of the glory of God, with a flowing and the ability to flow in the Spirit, with boldness. God sees you as a determined and relentless people, and he is rewarding your determination. I am getting ready to hear even more stories. Yesterday we heard fantastic stories and testimonies of what is happening in your church already, and this really encouraged me, and I'm waiting to hear even more stories, even more awesome testimonies, because of what God is doing here and with your lives. Oh, and I would just encourage you to take record of what is happening and to celebrate, because it's going to get bigger and bigger.